AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. And as you know, our signal covers Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And of course, people can listen in on the internet simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link on Wednesdays between 11 and 12. And then afterwards, you can tune in to rebroadcasts by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime broadcast. Well, this has been a very interesting week. We have a lot of things to discuss today. And of course, I want to say thank you to the members of our panel, Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. Wow. There's been so many things going on, you don't know where to begin. But first, I want to say, a good school system adds to the well-being of a community and good life for everyone living in that community. And of course, I think in the United States of America, too. A good education, no matter where you live, everybody's talking about all the school board meetings taking place now, and they're talking anything and everything about what has to be done to change the balance of what we're doing here in the United States. Some people are very disappointed that they can't find workers, yet we are helping people with extra unemployment, but they're simply not there when you need them. Even our newspapers are having problems getting the product on the street. I'm focused on a school system teaching jobs and life skills. And it's very important that we focus our taxpayer money that adds to something positive for the future of our economy and, of course, for our young people. It's really not something that we can dilly-dally around anymore. It's been many, many years. And as you know, we've been talking about that for a long time. And just recently, I had a very interesting call, and they asked me, how do I think President Biden is doing? I said, well, we're giving, you know, the best for this time. We'll be watching as time goes on. And they said, well, what would you like to see President Biden do if it was you advising him? I said, well, I would like to see him authorize school funding to rebuild the trades and technology programs in America's high schools. And they said, oh, that's a very nice idea. And that's usually done on a local level. I said, yes, that's true. However, funding, a tremendous amount of funding comes from the federal government, and promoting funding for all sorts of programs to cover the aftermath of the pandemic is very good, but future possibilities for employment for America's young people is even more important. So we'll see as the president speaks to the nation and to the Congress. Let's see what he's going to say. I mean, that's not only been something I've been speaking about for quite a long time. It's been our panel members and many of the people who contact me. They're very interested to see what's going to happen in the future. We have to get those life skills of every type back on the table. Otherwise, what's going to happen is the businesses will just become disgusted, discouraged, and they'll have a reason, an actual reason to say, I just can't retrain all these students in my workplace. Over the years, we've been urging parents, school boards, political leaders in the United States to promote a good education for all students. And of course, expand the trades and industrial arts programs in every school. In many cases, that's been going on deaf ears. Some of our supporters over 45 years old know that 30 years ago, there were large numbers of middle schools, mainly the 8th and 9th grade and then through high school, that offered reading, writing, math, the entire deal that you need for a proper education. But they also offered a variety of trade classes like plumbing, electrical, heating and air conditioning, mechanics, carpentry, automotive, and also when it comes to the other fields, we also had a number of great, great programs, and that they included engineering, drafting, all that is needed to make jobs possible here in our great country. But they've been taken off the plate, and our political leaders, our school boards, and of course our parents did not do their job and speak up. So in order for us to get businesses to stay, we have to produce a very large amount of people who are able to fill the present day skills needed. People like Mark Indel, they need skilled workers. They don't need dreamers. Or if some of the boys and girls get out of school, and I hate to say this, but I will, they don't even have an idea what the general workplace is going to be all about. They have no idea. They say, well, I never expected that. Well, this is very unfortunate, and it has to be addressed. You know, people have a lot of ideas, a lot of wishes, but when they graduate, they have to have the reality of a future life, which should be great here in the United States of America. They have to pay their bills, and they have to be great citizens. With that, I'd like to turn to our great Mark Indel. Mark, tell us everything. How is everything with you? And how are you promoting schools in your particular area?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? Rich and Larkin. Henry, thanks for taking my call. You know, a lot going on. Mike, I want to start first, if we could, the schools, you know, I'll talk to you about in a second. But this rapid inflation, I've been meeting a lot of CEOs and businesses local and talking to some national. We have one on my show every week, as you know. But this rapid inflation is just continuing. We've got a sheet of steel, a 4-foot by 8-foot sheet, Mike, 1/8-inch thick, used to be $47. Now it's $203 as of yesterday, just to give you an idea of that 100% plus inflation on the steel. Wood, plywood's ranging from $60 to $66 for a sheet of plywood. And a raw chicken wing, talking about to my restaurant good friend, a raw chicken wing, Mike, as you know, Buffalo's known for the chicken wings, $1.25 for one raw wing as of yesterday. So 200 wings used to cost them $47. Now they're $250 for 200 wings. So it's hitting all businesses, this rapid inflation. And we try to break down where that came from. You know, it's really that gap that was caused from the pandemic. The 3-4 months places were closed. They reopen. Then they can't get workers back to, because as they were, when they were closed, they wiped out their inventory, their you know, their just-in-time, just-in-case inventory, their field inventories across the country. And then they can't make it back up because workers didn't come back to work, and they can't grow and catch up because workers won't come back. So I'm really trying to find that disconnect. Also, you can't get, Mike, trucks, trailers. I'm a trailer manufacturer and distributor and dealer for CAM and CarMate. They're over 69 weeks out now. And my buddy called around the country to find trailers. He's also a trailer dealer. Any new place that would make him a dealer or allow him to become a dealer said you're going to wait 1.5 years for your first products. So you've got the rapid inflation. You've got, you can't get trucks, trailers, and heavy equipment. Caterpillar's out 1 year also with a dozer, excavators. You can't get that new equipment. And then you've got all the worker shortage. Everyone I talk to, even with the pandemic, if it grew your website and you found, you know, it really excelled that website, your e-commerce sites, 5 years. It just sped it up. Everybody went to the website. But if you can't make the products to sell on your website, I've got a company that's phenomenal with the website and 240% growth, but he can't grow no more because he doesn't have the workers. So we got three things: rapid inflation, can't get the products, and then you can't get the workers. And why are they charging this rapid inflation? We kind of found a disconnect. They're trying to make up. A lot of the distributors, they're trying to make up for what they lost in them 3-4 months in sales by just, you know, spiking these prices way up, Mike. So a lot going on.
You know, Mark, how is it? Tell us your version of why we're experiencing all this worker shortage when we have 10 million people out of a job or should be called back to work?
Yeah, I got General Welding right now looking for workers. We need two counter guys, a saw cutter, welders. We'll take as many as you can, and we're looking for a mechanic. We run the ads, Indeed and wherever. The ads come back, you know, help wanted, resumes half filled out. Most people are just filling them out so they can get, you know, fulfill their duties on unemployment. Mm-hmm. We cannot find the workers. I've called the schools and what. Unfortunately, a lot of the programs, the budgets were cut because of the pandemic. They're not even where we were before the pandemic, so we really got to start over a lot with our skilled trades push and training. I called a young man at Alfred State last night because I know he's finishing up his two-year, and I'm trying to give him an offer on a career, Mike. So I'm trying every avenue, because if you can't get workers, you cannot grow, period. And it was hard before the pandemic, but now we say skilled workers we're looking for, but just workers. At Made in America, we've got part-time positions. They won't come back because they've got unemployment plus the $300 extra until September 6th.
However, that's true.
I talked to a car salesman, Mike, that sold a vehicle. These people are buying vehicles. They don't know what to put down because they're getting free money. So it's not really income, but they don't know what to put down, he told me, you know. So they're just writing down, you know, making up something income. But the income is from the free money that they're actually buying a vehicle with. You know, it's crazy times. Up is down, down's up. You know, but they really messed up. You can make mistakes, but if they don't adjust as soon and realize what they've done and realize the disconnect, you can't give free money away and then expect the business that they worked for to be there when they're done collecting the free money.
Well, you're absolutely right, Mark, and this is what's going on. I am experiencing the same type of thing through our agency. People call and they say, we need this type of worker, this type of worker. I said, well, what happened? Everything was fine a year and a half ago. They said it's expanded unemployment. And, you know, that's something I would like to see President Biden address at this point. The pandemic is beginning to wind down, and he should acknowledge the fact that there are not enough workers in this system. And bearing that in mind, he should say, well, I think I'm going to immediately request that be reduced so that these people will go back into the system of working.
Yeah,
I mean, we have two things. We have students that are not available with the types of jobs we need, and then we have people that are available that are holding out, maybe till the end of summer, I'll be able to do this and let this go on. This is not good for America and not good for America's future.
You're right. You know, Biden and his administration can adjust this and stop this. You can't give away free. It's a test of socialism, and it does not work. Free doesn't work. You need people to respect and earn a living, and it's a teeter-totter point now for the United States of America. It's very sad and scary because free gets votes maybe, but free, it doesn't run this economy and produce the products.
Well, you're going to see a big change in some of these businesses by the time September comes around, because I'll tell you why, and business owners have told me. I've already been out begging for people, and I'm not going to beg anymore. I just decided I'll collapse certain obligations in the workforce. I'll take the things that are not that profitable, and I'll do away with them, and I won't need those people in September or any time in the future. So some of these people that are holding out, I mean, you can't get anybody to do, you know, not anybody, but you can't get a large number of people to even do. We're having problems getting the papers delivered in certain areas. Even the Inquirer is having complaints from people, and they say, we'll give you your refund because there is nobody that is dependable. You didn't get your paper for so many days. Some people want that home delivery. They don't want it on the internet. So there is a major, major disconnect. And by the way, all this is wonderful for foreign manufacturers, because as they see this happening in America, they say, oh, well, they don't have the people. We'll just, you know, expand our operations, and the next thing you know, we'll have more and more business. And by the time the pandemic is resolved in America and the people lose all those additional benefits, they will have no jobs to go to, so we'll already be on the catbird seat. It's insane.
Now, Mike, on a positive note, the Made in America movement's very alive and strong, strong as it's been in my 11 years with the Made in America stores. And I had Greg Owens, co-owner of Sherrill Manufacturing. Their brand is Oneida. Well, the brand used to be Oneida Flatware. So Civilware, you probably remember Oneida.
Oh, yeah.
They're in Utica, New York. So Greg's co-owner with his partner, Matt. He's also belongs to the Coalition of America. And he was on yesterday. His website took off, surprisingly, with huge growth. His flatware is doing real well. The Made in America movement stronger than ever. But again, his number one problem is he can't find workers to grow. And he would love to take advantage of the movement, the times. People are going out of their way. People woke up. They know the dependency on foreign. But it's really shocking to him that he can't grow during his, finally, this time. He bought the business in 2005, which was Oneida. And now it's Sherrill again, but he can't, and he markets it under, it's Liberty is the brand name, but he's doing, he has all the demand, but can't find workers. It's very frustrating for him.
You know, Mark, one of the things that I'm told over and over is the people calling around asking if you have any job possibilities open and all, this should not be done by unemployment compensation the way it's being done. It should be that you have to have a face-to-face or a Zoom meeting or something with the possible employer. Because just saying I called Mark Andel and he said he doesn't have any openings in this particular area, that should not be enough to keep you on unemployment for another 2 months.
The administration should be working on, like Larkin says, we need solutions. So, okay, we've just identified the number one problem in the country. You can't find workers, skilled workers or workers. Now what are we going to do about it? Now they've got to tie something in. You can't keep collecting your check. If you're called back, you've got to go. So there has to be something put in place to make these people get back to work when they're possible and when they can. Like you said, maybe take a different position, but you got to be able to work.
Well, I mean, if he's going to be speaking to the nation, I'd like him to say, we're going to review this position because I'm understanding that a lot of people who are out there could be working. So we have to do something to get those people back into the workforce. You're right. It's a different version of socialism. And this is going to come back to haunt America.
Free is not good.
It's not good. People want for free. Their hand is out. Their face has got a big smile on it. And that's wonderful. However, it's going to come back to haunt the United States of America.
Absolutely.
Because people are going to say, ha, all of this, I can't put up with this. I need these products in circulation. I'll just move one of my divisions overseas and be done with it. It's like a gift from heaven for foreign makers. The merchandisers won't have to do a lot of work to sell this idea. How about we turn to Larkin? Larkin, how are you doing, guy?
Good morning, Michael. How are you? I happen to be chipper and as fit as a fiddle and feeling better than I have in many years, which is a very, very good sign after open heart surgery and all. But
you had open heart surgery. We didn't know about that.
Well, a year and a half ago. Yes.
Oh, that's a year. I thought you had another version. I was going to say.
No. Some people get over it in 2 weeks. Some people get over it in 2 years. And then everybody else falls in the middle. You know, you guys have brought up so many things that are critical. But to encapsulate everything that's been said here, this is another example of Congress and the Senate not doing their job and leaving it up to the president, who's doing their job through executive orders. And how anybody familiar with guns and butter, just basic economics, doesn't understand what's happening to this economy right now, mm-hmm. and the potential of inflation. We're already experiencing it. And what is quite unfortunate is, that 2x4 was $1.75. Now it's $8.95. Do you think that the lumber yards all the way down through Home Depot and everybody else are going to roll that price back to $1.75?
Not for years, Larkin.
No, not for a long, long time. So we're in for a really, really good dose of inflation. And I don't understand how a man can be elected president and not understand that.
Larkin, sometimes people tell me we need always a businessman as a president. I've been saying that for 20 years, and that's true. I mean, we know Joe Biden.
Well,
he's been in.
Sure.
Wait, we did for 4 years, and Joe Biden has been in politics for what, 50 years now. So he really hasn't experienced.
40, yeah, 40
he has not experienced what it is to meet a payroll, to pay day to day and weekly bills and monthly bills. And I think that there has to be a bigger balance within the administration and also in the House and Senate, because first of all, you should never in this country, a wonderful, wonderful lady said to me in the Wawa, she said to me, you know, I was listening to you about 3 weeks ago, and it reminded me of something that I came to this country for. And I said, what is it? And she said, to escape somebody ruling my life. I said, very well said. And she said, that's what's beginning to happen in America, Michael, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. These people are ruling our lives. They're making it convenient for us to be at their claw. They make the rules, we have to obey. And you know, when what's going to happen in the future? They were talking yesterday about taking the masks off. Everybody's now going to be more and more vaccinated. What are we going to do when we get to a level of normalcy? Will we get to a level of normalcy? That's the question. Will those prices come back to haunt us? Already,
no,
75 cents a gallon more for gas. When is that going to go down?
It's not. That's not going down anytime soon. I stop and I think about the Biden administration. I promised to keep my mouth shut for 100 days, but guess what? I'm going to fall short by 5 or 6 days because I can't do it. Everything he touches, he has touched so far. And I mean everything that he has touched so far, from the $5 trillion worth of assistance that he's handing out, another $1.8 trillion he's going to talk about tonight. I don't know where he thinks this money's coming from. I don't know how he thinks he's going to pay it back, although I'm sure I'm going to hear tonight we're going to tax the rich.
I mean, there's only so many rich, and the rich are going to just move out of the country.
Oh,
or they'll relocate their money somewhere else. I mean, that's how it works.
What's going to happen. Of course, everybody knows what's going to happen. They're going to raise taxes to the 75% mark. And while the rich are paying 80% of the burden right now, that'll go down to 50 or 40 when they get done hiding their cash, their assets. They just put it in untaxable issues. That's all. The scary part is at no point is he standing up and saying, well, here's why I'm doing this, or here's how this is going to pan out, or here's how this is going to work for the good of the country. He's doing nothing but pandering to the American public, thinking that they're going to guarantee that he is going to be elected monarchy, or I have no idea, but it certainly makes absolutely no sense to me. You know, their answer to unions we might want Mark to go to the bathroom or something, or turn this off while I talk about this, because he's not going to want to hear this. But at any rate, you know, the Amazon warehouse facility in Bessemer, Alabama, had a vote the week before last on whether they wanted to go union or not. And there was the usual union avoidance circumstances. If you're on one side, you can only say this, and if you're on the other side, you can only say that. But embarrassingly, 16% 16% of the current employees in Bessemer, Alabama, decided that they wanted to be part of the wholesale, retail, wholesale, and department store union, who are the people that tried to unionize them. This is one of the many long list of high-profile losses for labor, including failed attempts to unionize factories for Volkswagen, Nissan, Motors, and Boeing. Those are the last four. What the unions, which are Democratic, period, amen, and I'll prove that in a second. What they don't understand is that membership, union membership in the private sector in 1973-72 was 25%, 24.2 to be exact, 22.42% of the working public was unionized. Now, today, right now, 6.3. That's how many people have done the old jam your hand into your elbow and your hand comes up. That's what they've told the unions to do. You know, they can get the government to change the rules. So that's basically what they've come up with. And this is the first of all, let me prove why unions are Democratic and not Republican. OpenSecrets.org, which is a labor organization webpage, told us that in the President Joe Biden race against Trump, the unions gave Biden 27.5%. $27.5 million. I'm sorry, $27.5 million, and they gave Trump, on the other hand, $360,000. So are they Democrat or Republican? And am I embarrassed to say that? But here's the bad part, and I want to. This is the part that's going to aggravate Mark, because it's unfortunate, but it's true. No one should be surprised that the union efforts to organize workers at Amazon failed so miserably. And it all comes down to 63% of the state, regardless of how the unions doled out their money, 62% of the state voted for Trump. So, you know, they weren't, you know, they stood no chance whatsoever. But labor leaders and their Democratic allies have a solution, and this is the one that will be very hard. And this is the one that will keep the union dues and political contributions flowing. A bill designed to prop up labor unions by making it far easier to coerce unwilling workers into unionizing. It's called the Protecting the Rights to Organize Act, PRO Act, has been proposed. It requires employers to disclose employee contract information, contact information such as home address, phone numbers, union. I mean, they've written a rule that's going to make it so easy for the unionized side to win any kind of union avoidance. And it's, guess what? It's already passed the House of Representatives. It's on the way to the Senate. So, if you think we got inflation problems brought on by immigration or the $6.8 trillion that he has given away, you haven't seen nothing yet. If this union bill passes, they're just forcing unions down the
throat. And then they become Democratic voters, huh, Larkin?
I guess so.
Well, that's
that's how you can buy votes too, right?
You know, Larkin, I have to tell you this because a good lady who listens and enjoys you and remembers you from living in South Philly and participating at St. Stan's, I saw her around Easter and she said to me, you know, Michael, why don't you make this suggestion? And I forgot about it. I had put it on a note in my pocket, and I looked at it the other day and I said, this is good. She said, we've been watching this press conference with Jen Psaki almost every day. She said, why must it only be a press conference? Why can't we have public conferences with business leaders? with parents talking about school issues. Why must it always be the press focusing on a few of their pet issues? What do you think of that, Larkin?
Well, I will say this. Biden has just almost rewritten the rules. There is no president going back 100 years. There is no president who has spoken less to the American people and to the press. None. And I think you have to go all the way back to Wilson, who had a stutter and was afraid to talk. I don't know. But all I'm telling you is he's not going to talk. He's doing things that he wants to do. He's paying back people that put him in the place he's in. He has absolutely no regard for the fundamental foundation of this country. He really doesn't.
Well, then, Larkin, the second part of that question is it time for us, the taxpayers, to have our own press conferences, as I keep saying about C-SPAN on various radio shows and things like that, and there's so many internet possibilities, to talk about issues? It seems that the school boards are very close. They're close-knit, you know, net. They won't let anybody in. You have to be a parent and this and that to even get on the Zoom these days. But how about a national issue where people in the business community can speak up and say, hey, wait a minute, I need workers of this type. I think the federal dollars that we're giving to the local schools in each one of our states should have so much, at 20%, 15% directed to the trades and technologies. You know, Larkin, one of the things that bugs the hell out of me is when the school board people, and I know a few of them, not many, they say to me, Michael, we can't find teachers for those programs. I say, there's a simple solution. And they say, what is it? I say, well, then go to the industries and take some people out of those industries and put them in as teachers, but get those classes back again. As I said earlier, most of the boys and girls graduating school have no idea what a future workplace will be. It's dilly-dallyism to them. They come and go and think everything is fine. You know, you have to have a set of standards to exist these days in the United States. Because I'll give you another example of how this is starting to come back to haunt the American people. A lot of the restaurants and all, especially now that the pandemic is, passing, they need kitchen help, maybe not the, you know, cooking, but they need people to take care of the kitchen, take care of the dishes and stuff like that. So the illegal immigrants, the people who were in the kitchens, have now graduated to the upfront people to cover up for the people who are on unemployment. And the immigrants are able to get some under the table money from these restaurants who desperately need help. And I don't blame them. But this is how the under-the-table economy exists. And yet no one speaks of it. They have press conferences and they talk all about insanity, goofiness. 5 minutes of it and you close the station, go somewhere else. Normal. And why is that? How do we as the taxpayers make this known to the public? Let's get this started so that we can get people speaking together about the true needs of America, not just what the press corps is saying to Jen Psaki or whoever else in Washington.
Well, it's a magnanimous thought, but if we or if someone were to do this, they would have to get in line beside Fox News, C-SPAN, MSNBC, all of the other politically driven news agencies. It's out there if somebody's willing to listen to it. But when you listen to it, you're either listening to the left or you're listening to the right.
Well, you know, Larkin, that's a good point. You know, maybe it's time now to start calling in to the call stations with these kinds of calls. We're short of workers. We need work-skilled youth graduating out of our schools. We don't want our tax dollars wasted. Those are the kinds of things. Not talking about something that somebody said in Washington, that does not affect their day-to-day life. That does not affect their future. All of that, what's going on at these press conferences, not one thing has affected me during the entire pandemic, except knowing that more taxes are on their way and wear my mask and things like that. Has it not affected me?
Yeah. See, one of the things that he doesn't understand, and I do now because I'm in the category, is that this inflation is bone crushing.
Yes.
What's going to happen? There's nobody raising my pensions.
That's
right.
There's
nobody raising my Social Security. I've got a fixed number that I live on. I've got a budget that my wife and I are aware of, and that's what we live by.
That's right.
Now, all of a sudden, that dollar's going to go a hell of a lot less further. And on top of that, if I do decide to take a little bit of money, and step out on the world, the stage of free enterprise, and invest a little money in a tech stock that I think is going to have a great future, and I do score well and make some money, I'm going to be taxed at an accelerated rate. He's already said that.
Yep. Yeah.
Where's the win here? It's just, it's just bend over and wait because it's on its way. Bend over and sit down.
You can't keep giving money out of your pocket without replacing it. And that's the bottom line.
Where's it coming from?
I don't know. Sure. There's no rain store of dollar bills, and I'm getting tough too. I mean, intentions are good. Realities are different. And remember also, when it comes to paying the bills, the guy at the top should know better than ever who should be paying that bill. And it can't be just the taxpayers who are trying to do a good job to live a good life here in the United States. They should not be punished.
And at the same time, a tip of the hat, which is a lie. What the heck are the Republicans doing? But besides walking around, where's the leadership? Where's the leadership anywhere?
Larkin, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. These people have to act like Americans. They have to act like Americans, not just go as a herd mentality. You can't do that. Talking about a man who likes to speak his mind, how about we talk with Rich Logis? Rich, how are you doing? Let us know everything.
Hi, Michael, Larkin, Mark, to Henry, our listeners, good morning. And I'm writing some notes here that I need to get to from everything said. So I'm going to start, Michael, with your comment about schools. Do you guys recognize the name? And I'm probably mispronouncing it. I looked up online how to say it correct. I'm probably still getting it wrong. Do you recognize the name Teruyo Nakamura? Teruyo Nakamura.
No.
Okay. Let me tell you guys who Teruyo Nakamura was. He was the last known Japanese holdout to surrender, Mark, after the Empire of
Korean
Japan
War.
Surrendered after the Nagasaki and Hiroshima bombs. He was fighting. Now, those bombs were dropped in 1945. He was fighting until 1970. He didn't know that the war ended in 1945 until 1974, Mark. For 30 years, he fought a war that was over and came out of the bunker. So if you ever hear that phrase, the Japanese soldier coming out of his bunker, that's where it comes from. This is a true story, Mark. This is true. Michael, public education in its current form is the Republicans' Teruyo Nakamura moment. It is a war that ended decades ago. Decades ago, it ended. It was lost. Let me clarify. The GOP and the right lost the public education battle decades ago. Now, how do we wage a war and have, Mark, a different outcome, or we hope a different outcome this next time around? Well, the answer is in one of my favorite topics, Michael, that I like to address on this show, which is save the state that you live in. If you want to salvage your quality of life, your education, expand your freedoms, make your place where you live more affordable, more free, has to be done now on the state and local level. I'm not saying, Mark, that I don't pay attention to what's going on nationally. I do. Michael, you're talking about, you're asking where the leadership is. The Republican, and I know Larkin doesn't, I believe, doesn't agree with this point. And that's okay. And that, look, that's okay. We're all here, and we stand our ground on what we believe. My worthless opinion about it is that the National Republican Party is simply a dead man walking, and that the pathway to salvation is through the individual states. And I can't, and Mark, unfortunately, I can't help you there. Your state is a virtual supermajority legislature of a singular party with its governor. Michael, you and Henry, you guys are in divided government. Well, let me tell you something. Some of the worst places to be when COVID was on the rise last year, it wasn't just full blue states. It was actually divided government states, such as where you guys are, Michael, you and Henry, such as Michigan. These are divided states. And then you have me and Larkin here in Florida. Now, we tout our freedoms, Larkin. We tout that we're open. We tout that it's a nice place to live and a good place to do business. Well, what does that mean in the end, Larkin? Who's coming here to take advantage of all those gains? Is it a coal miner, Michael, in Pennsylvania? Mark, is it a welder in Buffalo, New York? A cheese farmer in Wisconsin? No, 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 Michael. The people coming here into Texas and other states that have been open are the ones who elected people who enacted policies to lock down their states, keep kids out of school. Now some states like Michigan demanding, ordering, Mark, that two-year-olds wear masks to school. Sensibility, Michael. 80% of the country are hysterical psychopaths, useful idiots, and do nothing except pursue myriad pursuits of pleasure. So what's the answer? The answer is called the 10th Amendment, Michael. What's happening in your state? Because a strong state led by actual leaders, Michael, is going to thwart and stymie what the feds try to do in our states. And that's going to happen here in Florida. But Larkin, damn it, I'm telling you, people in Texas, if you're listening, people in North Carolina, where you're already divided, if you're listening to me, I implore you, don't be Teruyo Nakamura. Don't fight a war that ended 30 years ago. The time to wage the war is now.
Now, right.
It's actually yesterday, but today's better than 20 years from now. Now is the time to wage war to keep your state affordable, safe, and free. So that's my rant, Michael.
But you know, Rich, that's a good rant. And you know what? Here is something that's very interesting. Right now, at this time of year, and some people will even be doing that on the primary election day, is voting for school board people. I've noticed something these past few years, and that is more than the past few years, but the school board people are just very quiet, trying to do their things nicey-nicey. I think they should be out there speaking up what they, as a school board member, would do to bring the school system where they are into the to the place where you have not only people that are going to be going right to college, but also where people are going to go into the trades, because they had some schools. You know, every county in Pennsylvania had no less than four major trade schools 30 years ago. Today, it's very, very small. You know, 30 years ago, you used to have to sign up way in advance to get into the trade programs. In the eighth grade, you already had to know by ninth grade because you had shop. Remember, people will remember the word shop. And when you went to high school, you had your reading, writing, and arithmetic, and you also had shop classes. Even the Catholic schools would ship out their shop request students to the trade schools. That hasn't been happening in recent years. Everybody thought that the tech revolution was going to go enormously big and everybody would be just walking around, you know, with phones. They're walking around with phones, but they're not making any money on it. They're just making the phone company rich.
And this is why, again, Mark, you really deserve an infinite amount of credit. Because you're not Teruyo Nakamura. You're not trying to fight a war that was lost decades. The Made in America war is not lost, Mark. I actually don't believe. The challenge with Made in America, see, Larkin's brought this point up before. Larkin, right? Remember a few weeks ago we were talking and you talk to people and they're all fired up, right? You know, they're gung-ho, right? Republicans I'm talking, like, yeah, they're fired out. We're going to go fight. And all of a sudden they log into their online bank account and all of a sudden $4,200 came out of nowhere. You know, Larkin, I'll be fired up tomorrow. Let me go spend that money first. Let me go pursue a pleasure today. Give me a call on Friday. We'll get fired up again.
Let's move all that foreign-made inventory fast.
Tonight, I guess what's going to happen tonight. Everyone's going to listen tonight. Those same people are going to listen tonight saying, oh, my God, another stimulus bill. Who's going to pay for this? Our grandchildren. As if people actually give a shoot about what their grandkids are going to pay. So they're going to sit tonight and listen to Biden, and he's going to say, oh, we need another few $1 trillion. And the same people go to Facebook, because Facebook obviously Facebook is a bad, social media is a place where you go to learn august, erudite, intellectual, sagacious words of wisdom, right? And the same people fired up about all that spending are going to get that money in their bank account in the next month or two, Mark, and they're going to say, Mark, listen, I'd like to buy Made in America, but all the junk that I buy isn't made here. I'm just not in the market, Mark, for a triple XL shirt to hide my Glock 45 today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Isn't that right, Mark? Mark, is that correct what I said? See, that's your and when I say it's your problem, it's our problem. It doesn't mean we can't overcome the problem. But when that free money comes in, that cha-ching comes out of nowhere.
Absolutely, amen.
Now they could go buy whatever junk they've had their eye on, pursue whatever pleasure they want to go, and then they'll get pissed off for, I don't know, a day or so, and then go right back to pursuing pleasure again. But the problem with endlessly pursuing pleasure, Michael, is you become oblivious to what's going on around you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with that. Look, yeah. I like pleasure as much as the next guy. I like it as much as the next guy. But when it's all you do, when all one does in his life is just endlessly pursue pleasure, all he is Teruo Nakamura. He doesn't realize the war was lost. He figured it out 30 years later. He was still in his bunker fighting 30 years later. Someone came out and said, hey, Teruo, do you know the war ended 30 years ago? And he said, that's not possible. I've been fighting it for 30 years.
Well, we have it. Because people are so narrow-minded in recent years, and many of them are afraid to speak up about anything because no matter what you say, they're afraid, oh, you're going to, it sounds discriminating, it sounds this, it sounds that. This is, we're becoming a society where we point and pick at too many things. As I say forever, I have always worked with great people of many nationalities, races, and creeds. I don't look at them. I speak mostly to them on the phone. When I meet them in person, it's wonderful. It's the first time I'm seeing them in many cases. But I don't look at race, color, and creed. I look what is the quality that person has to offer. You could be the greatest person, but if you have nothing to offer, who cares whether you're white, black, green, purple, or yellow? You have nothing to offer. And this is the problem with our education. You know, if we don't demand now a quality school system, the poor education of America's youth over the last 20, 25, 30 years is coming back to haunt us. Big time. Big time.
What do you mean coming back? It's on
its way. It's haunted, but it's going to be even worse because right now, those trade programs, it's about 30%. There was a girl who wrote, I think her name was Megan Zogby. You can look that up, Megan Zogby. She wrote an article about a year ago. She was an intern at a newspaper, I believe, and she wrote an article that some trades are starting to pick up, some trade programs are starting to pick up. Now, also, many of the trade programs after high school are starting to pick up. My argument with all that is, why can't it take place in the high school where we're already paying once to have that child in school? You know, when I was in school, I remember God bless Sister Agnella. She went up and down the aisles asking the people to stand and tell every one of us, 36 in the class, what we wanted to be when we were going to graduate the eighth grade, what we were going to do in high school to become a great adult. Sister Agnella's ideas were perfect. I think of her from time to time, and I say to myself, that's what we're missing in America. The teachers don't want to ask students what they want to be. They're afraid of the response.
So, to jump in here and change the subject just a little bit, I want to inform the panel as well as the listeners that last week I bought a pillow top thing for my mattress from Therma-Pedic. Am I saying that right? Therma-Pedic, yes. It was more expensive than I thought it should have been, but that's okay. I'm looking to live through the night and get some sleep. And I paid a bunch of money for it, and I ripped the tag off, which means that under the penalty of law, I can go to prison if anybody wants to turn me in, knock yourself out. But the foam in this mattress topper was made in the USA, and the cover was made in Mexico, and it was filmed and finished and stitched closed, as they say, in the USA. Ah. So that's my purchase of late.
Okay. Well, you did. You know, I have to mention this today.
Can I make mention, Michael? Sorry,
yes.
Because in my rant before, I almost slipped my mind, Mark, and thank you for reminding. So I purchased something this week for my earphones for my exercise regimen because, well, I'm getting fat and I need to lose weight.
Extra pounds.
My coronavirus two kids made me fat and broke, not necessarily in that order. The coronavirus was just a cherry on top. So I found an item I needed, and according to the company, and I attempted, Mark, to corroborate this to the best of my abilities, there is a component. It's a little small purchase, but there are numerous little components in it. There's a pair of components in it that are U.S. made. The rest are foreign made, and I'm certain it's not 100% American made. But I dug. This one took me a while to find, Mark. This little component, it's little hooks for my headphones. It took me time to find this. If I had just decided to buy any old product, Larkin, I could have gotten it in 10 seconds. 10 seconds would have taken me. Oh, there's one right there. That's what I need. Check out. Don't even look at where it's made. So small purchase this week. Last week, a couple weeks ago, was a larger purchase with a green screen with some components made here. But then a little one this week. But that's mine for this week, Larkin. Thanks for sharing. And, of course, Mark, you're exempt every week.
You know, Rich, I just want to mention that Mr. Spicer, Sam Spicer, wrote me, and he says, I'm looking for a sheet, a list of American-made products where and what I can buy. And that's something we are working on, but it's tough because when we say American-made, just as Larkin, you said, a lot of the stuff is partially made here, partially made there. We're going to have to do that, give that some credit, either made and assembled in the United States of America, because since we are now a global economy, we have to also acknowledge the fact that we're trying to work with one another. What my purpose today in the broadcast was to get people to talk to their school boards, because we really need to return to schools offering job certifications. And Mark, I'm sure in Buffalo, the schools would give you a job certification if you were graduating from a trade school. That, in many cases, was even more valuable than a four-year college diploma, because that showed you that you knew what you were doing the minute you were graduating. Many of our students are not in that situation, coming out of college with huge bills to pay and know where to go.
Yeah. You know what's great? You guys, Larkin and Rich, you're doing your homework. You're doing your part. You're researching. You're finding out products are made here. And like you said, Mike, you're going to find 50-50 by the Federal Trade Commission at one point was made in America, which is okay. I'm 100%. That was our concept and core value. But outstanding work. And Larkin and Rich, you're really showing that it can be done with a little extra care. You can go out and search for made in America, and you can feel good about it. And Larkin, and you're worth that comfort, you know.
And we are going to have to work on that list. And in fact, I'll ask everybody, if you have a particular company that you know of that's either made or assembled in the USA, send me a brief note or send me an email to michael@americanworkersradio.com. And we're going to gather that list, and I'm going to try to do my best in the future to support us even more, that we get back to where we should be as America. As you can hear by the music, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to say goodbye for today. Dovidzenya. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Please go out and support your local businesses. Go out and look for the American or American made or American made and assembled label, and support those businesses, because our workers working today need your business. Until we meet again, God bless you and all of yours.
All right, guys, have a great week.
Thanks, everybody.